Hi, hello, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening from wherever you are listening from. Today is Sunday, the 8th of November, and I have just woken up from one of the most oddly satisfying and happy nights, which is kind of rare during this pandemic period. And all thanks to the most dramatic and nail-biting election results that I have ever watched in my lifetime. The happy part is that I have regained a little faith in the people around me, and I really hope this also remains a good lesson to many presidents and prime ministers, quote unquote, out there. So on that note, I welcome you all to another episode of the 1T1. This is Irene, your host for the day, and I welcome Nikki and Akhil, who's joining me for today's discussion.
So hi everyone, welcome to this episode of our podcast 1T1. And as Irene said, hope you all are having a satisfying week in terms of election result and global things happening. On another note, the cases, COVID cases in India are kind of falling. The count has been falling. So yeah, all in all, it's like a can't complain situation all around here. So yeah, with that, I'm welcoming all of you guys one more time to our podcast.
Yes, guys, so does that mean 2020 is finally on track now after all the twists and turns? Do we have good news coming on our way? With that happy note, let's start today's episode. To join our discussions today, we have a very special guest. Yes, a successful leader in their field, someone who had made considerable contributions to the Fortune 500 company. Now hold your thoughts. No, we don't have a guest today. You might have someone in your mind, a leader, your favorite leader maybe. And that's exactly what we are discussing today, the leadership and what makes an ideal leader.
Yeah, in fact, listening to Nikki's question, I was thinking, you know, there isn't an ideal leader which we can say, you know, appreciations and criticisms are effortless, but we can't point out to a person and saying that, okay, you know, these are the qualities that I expect in a leader and this is an ideal leader. So an ideal leader is a complicated image, but I'm sure that we as people or we as followers have some expected qualities from a leader, right?
Yeah, I agree to that. It's kind of sort of fascinating, right? Like, because we see leaders everywhere around us, like from our home, school, work, or like wherever you are. Either you may be the leader, or like you're seeing other persons lead you. But it's so little, you know, we talk about like what should be the qualities, or like how we set expectations, or like what are we thinking about them. So I think it's nice to have a productive discussion on that topic.
Exactly. And to start with, I would like to ask you both, what does it take to be a true and effective leader?
So, Irene, to answer your question, I think just before that, there are a lot of stereotypes or like taboos associated with that question at all. So our society might think a lot of things, which might be, you know, unnecessary in a good leader. So speaking about stereotypes, the first thing which comes to my mind is the king concept. A true leader need not to be he should not act like a king. Because you know, I think our society is a little bit inclined towards that authoritarian concept when it comes to the leadership, even starting from school, starting from home. Starting from home, I think we need to refine our thought process a little bit, because even a father or mother is not some person who should take all decision by themselves and assert that on children. So like that, we have to, you know, reinvent the process of, you know, becoming a good leader. So to answer your question, I think a good leader should be compassionate. He should include everyone else in the decision-making process. And he should have some sort of integrity in his character. So to me, these are the three things which comes to my mind right now when you ask about the traits of a good leader.
Yeah, yes, Akhil. This is a reflection of the actual today's generation. And I'm like really grateful that the stereotype is breaking with respect to the leadership. I mean, leadership can be of different types, and it ultimately is how you influence your followers to achieve the success, the company or the country that you're leading. And it obviously, like Akhil said, it starts from the grassroots level, from the family to whom you look up to. It's I think the scene of this changing leadership concepts is a reflection of the change in the thought process of the generation, the acceptance of a more intelligent visionary leader who probably is not as loud or is not emotionally expressed, but is a more compassionate as well as composed, and is able to lead to a better future. Is what the generation is looking for now. And to me, that's what leadership is about. It's about relating to the grassroots level, to the empathy, to empathize with the followers directly, as well as get everyone together in an umbrella to move towards success, as opposed to someone who takes a linear approach towards success, which is completely from one point of view.
Thanks for your thoughts. I completely agree with whatever you both said. So to sum up, I think a true leader or an effective leader should have both human qualities like kindness, compassionate, empathy, along with other powerful qualities. By power, I doesn't mean physical powers in that sense, but confidence or a true power to lead his followers. Talking about power, I think the power of a leader is his or her ability to influence people. For example, for me, a leader is someone whom I can look up to, right? Or whom I can follow, whom I can listen, whom I can trust and obey with confidence. No matter a leader is good or bad, there will be a fraction of followers for a leader, right? And that, I think, is a superpower of a leader. If a leader is good enough, then he or she can use that superpower to influence the followers for a good reason. If not, then they can use it for their own vested interest. And I think that is happening a lot all around the world. The motive of many of the leaders of a ruler of a country around the world is to divide and rule, and that's how they satisfy their vested interest, which I think is totally wrong. So I think a true leader should be able to influence people in a good way.
I think when we want to talk about leadership, so I think we have to consider two things separately. One is like the outcomes of maybe a outcome of a collective group. Maybe that's family or like a country or a firm or whatever it is. So a good leader, right? He should give outcomes to whichever field he's, whichever firm he's leading. So, and another thing is the mentality or like the influence or the state of mind of his subjects. So these two things, I often find it as, it might not always go hand in hand. And that is one of the reasons still authoritarianism and dictatorship and those kind of things, right, that still runs in our country. So I'll be a little more specific. So in 1970s, you all remember our former Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi. She kind of imposed a state of siege in India. So in terms of leadership or like whatever human qualities, we cannot justify it. That is not at all a good move in terms of, freedom of press, freedom of speech, or like the primary reason was she was not able to well manage the country. So that is kind of a flaw. But speaking about outcomes, that is the same time India achieved, the financial stability. India had this green revolution through which in agriculture field also, we became stable. So I think this is kind of a contrast or kind of a gray area in which, we cannot associate a good leadership with outcomes. I don't know, like I cannot even if you're checking now consider the case of China. I don't think anyone will anyone will quote China as an example of, you know, great leadership, because there is no choice for the people. But see their outcomes. Like the neighbors are having, you know, over a billion population and almost the same kind of, you know, resources. And we kind of had around 15, 16 prime ministers. Both were, you know, good leaders. We had good leaders. But considering the outcome, I don't think we kind of reached near to China. So I think even take the example of Middle East. I don't know. I can quote those people as, you know, the best examples of a leader, but their outcomes are bad. So I think I should ask you guys about your opinion on this.
Yeah, okay. That's a really wonderful question. Like authoritative leadership versus the democratic leadership. What my thoughts on that is that when it comes to authoritative leadership, as long as it is not for selfish interest, I think it makes sense to some extent, because in a democratic leadership, we cannot consider, like, you know, millions of people's, in India, billions of people's opinion, and in China, to the extent that, because they are not subject experts, they don't have a vision about where the country is about, they're not informed about a lot of things that's happening behind the curtain. So as a leader, you may have a better vision and about the horizons of what's about to happen, and better informed than the majority of the people. So as long as it's the better for the organization, I think it makes sense for the leader to take decisions for themselves. And for a current example, I would say the great Corona incident itself, like the way the different states have been handling it, is completely different. When it comes to a more individualized society such as the Western countries, even the use of mask is not completely mandatory, and it gives the people a lot of freedom to raise their voice against it, even though it's for the safety of the citizen. I think the same kind of leadership may not work in all environments, but I think that's a very, very difficult spot to hit when you have to satisfy your followers' emotions as well as you have to achieve where you're going. It's a very valid point, and it's a very complicated question to answer, but, you know, it's only things that we can try to make things
work. You know, you always have to ask. If you want to search for the traits of a good leader, then you have to check what is the context. So it's like there is no way to answer that question without knowing the context. It's like that, right?
Exactly.
You know what? I wouldn't always say authoritative leaders or authoritarian leaders are always right. Of course, they might have even if they don't have any selfish interest, they are selflessly working for the, you know, the growth and development of the country or the firm. Do you think, will you be happy to live under an authoritarian leader? It's like the patriarchal society that we are living in. It's like men saying women that, you know, we are doing this for the good of you, and, you know, you should obey us because we are being protective about you. You should listen to us, and it's for the overall betterment of the society that we are doing all of this kind. So I don't think that's a justification of any nature.
For me, the defining point or the dividing point is that how informed the response is from. Well, for people who say that Donald Trump is the greatest president America has seen, they are saying that from the point of view of the news that's seen in Fox News and the WhatsApp forwards or wherever websites that's highly biased towards Trump. So majority is not always right. That's what I was trying to say. It's like based on what are these opinions coming from? Like, it's a lot of things that influence how the followers respond to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. As I previously said, the power of a leader is that he or she can influence people in a good or bad way. So exactly. I think the power of a leader will be to, as we call leaders, they are representatives. So they should be able to represent the majority of the people's interests equally, which is the hardest thing to crack. If they can, or he or she, if a leader can influence even the minority of the people in a bad way, of course, they will think that that's a win for them, but might not be necessarily. If you cannot hold on or represent all the people or majority of the people equally, then I don't think that will be a good leader. Divide and rule is not a good approach at any cost. Okay. So I think, I don't know if I'm making sense. I think I'm becoming a little less comprehensible. So let me just make it a little more interactive. As we are talking about authoritarian leaders, like the kings or the rulers of the past centuries, or even right now as well. And we are talking about much more kind, compassionate, or democratic leaders as well. So let me give you an example. Let's not go into real life examples and make the topic sensitive. So let us take some fictional characters for the sake of the debate. Okay, we all know about Mahabali. Mahabali is whose homecoming that we celebrate as the festival of Onam. Of course, there are disputes as to how Mahabali was as a ruler. There are still people who say that he was the kind of, well, healthy and fit person. But I'm not going to that part, that disputed part. But as Mahabali is portrayed before us, he is the funny and kind and compassionate ruler under whom everybody was supposedly happy and, it was a peaceful society after all. So would you mind living under a ruler like Mahabali, a kind, compassionate and loving and caring person?
Why would we not? That's exactly why we celebrate Onam every year, right? Like, it's like trying to commemorate the memory of a great leader who Kerala have seen.
Uh-huh. But let me ask you this question then otherwise. Do you think Mahabali failed as a leader? Because of his kind and compassionate nature, because of which when Vamana came to ask for the third feet of land, and because of which Mahabali had to apparently go to the underneath, underground. So maybe if Mahabali was a king like probably Bahubali, who can fight at any time, who can have a sword and say, I'm not going to give this piece of land for you because I have to rule this country or stay alive for my people. So do you think probably a person like Bahubali would have had a win situation there, and Mahabali failed as a leader because of his kind and compassionate nature that he had to fail before Vamana?
See, not just about this Mahabali story, but often in our history, not history, in our epics, like a lot of stories are there like this. For example, the Dronacharya, he was actually asking for the thumb of his student, just because, he was a little bit better than Arjuna. Correct, right? I hope you all remember that story.
Yes, yes.
So, in all those stories, promises are made to be kept. But whenever one person is asking, their life or something like that, why would we go for that promise? I think all those stories are not at all setting a good example.
Going back to the question, I think as a leader, Mahabali was highly celebrated, and his followers were pretty happy with how he ruled the country, and the country was going towards progress. So I would see Mahabali as a completely successful leader, but not a very intelligent person. So because for the betterment of the country he was ruling, probably he should have just not kept his promise. I think it's an ego that he has to always be right and kind that swept him over with emotions that he subjected to, the trap that was set for him. So great leader, not so intelligent person.
Okay, I'll just rephrase this question again. We always see, or at least how the myths say, under Mahabali, everybody was happy. It was a peaceful society after all. So I don't know about the truth, but I mean, I myself am confused about this question, but I want to ask, know your opinions as well. Do you think the society was peaceful and happy at the first place that a kind and compassionate ruler like Mahabali could rule in his own way by being loving and caring and empathetic? Or do you think it's the other way around? Because of a kind, compassionate and loving leader like Mahabali, people were so happy and peaceful?
It all depends on, it's a mutual relationship, Irene. How a leader should be is completely dependent on how the followers are and vice versa. So if Mahabali was a successful leader and he was able to keep the calm and success of his country while he was ruling as a kind leader, that means his subjects were actually expecting a leader who was kind. So I would say that if Bahubali conquered Mahabali's empire back then there will be utter chaos in the country, because that's not what the followers were looking for in a leader, and they would not subject to authoritative leadership at any point. So that's what I think.
In this context, I would like to take the example of three countries who handled this coronavirus pandemic. One is New Zealand, and another one is China, and the third one is United States, or maybe India. So, let's take those three countries for now. We all know how New Zealand handled the virus case, right? Their leader was kind of compassionate. I don't think they went for a strict lockdown like that of India and all. They were kind of going with smart lockdown. And, everything made sense. Everything made a lot of sense, and that gave them the results. Almost same kind of things were enforced in US also, I guess. I mean, not lockdown, but the authority took some things like that. But, the people, the society was not at all, cooperating with that. And we saw till now over 200,000 people died. And now if you're taking the example of China, they handled it in a completely different way, where people had no say in anything. If they say you have to stay in home, then you have to stay in home. There is no, your opinion doesn't matter. So taking these three examples, I think I'll say it's all about the situation. Because I don't think the strategy of New Zealand will work in China if it was a democratic country.
Yes.
Because over I think China is more populated than India. Around 1.5 billion people are there. And those level of contract tracing, what New Zealand had implemented, is not at all possible in China. In this context, I obviously put China as a winner. Because they work in the situation, they manage the situation so perfectly. I mean, just don't think about the other world's perspective. Just think about China as a Chinese person. So they won. In US, what a phenomenal failure was that. People was not cooperative, so was their leader. People was not at all agreeing to staying home for a few days or wearing a mask. So in that case, I mean, too much freedom in that case for a dumb society, I think it will be a curse.
Thanks Agil for your views. Adding up to that point, I would like to mention a few things as well. Of course, other than leadership, there are a few other factors involved as well. First thing, talking about New Zealand, it was a really small country. And of course, I admire her as a true leader. To quote from her own words, it takes courage and strength to be an empathetic leader, and she proved herself to be an empathetic leader. And talking about China had the resources to manage the pandemic in a really effective way. And talking about US, it was just utter stupidity and dumb nature. So there are other factors involved as well. And as you previously mentioned, the qualities of a leader depends upon what kind of society or what context that leader is ruling for. And of course, you know, the thing about countries like New Zealand for having a good leader is that she ruled or she gained the public trust and confidence by being a good leader. For example, if I have a good leader whom I can follow and look up to, I would of course follow or obey that, and that's how a society become cooperated and united, I think. So if I have a bad leader, and if that person in fact in reality says something sensible or true, I wouldn't agree to that person because I'm so used to hearing all the dumb things that the leader has been saying. So I think that's how a leader should win public trust and confidence.
So, but I think I actually see a lot of change in the pop culture. I think that's what the youngsters relate to a lot these days. You might have read and seen a lot of popular media in which the professor from Money Heist is highly influenced as a leader. Also, there are other popular media examples like the rise in popularity of bringing back the Potterheads, the Hufflepuff versus Gryffindor. I mean, I think for decades, Gryffindor has been glorified as the best house, and now the author herself have come forward saying that Hufflepuff is a superior house for its empathies and the loyalties and the qualities it holds. As well as the popularity of popular characters such as Jon Snow, popularity of some of the leaders such as like Obama, who is actually a charismatic leader but an introvert. I mean, these are like some of the examples, you know, of people idolizing probably not so emotionally highly displayed loud personalities. So what do you think about?
Very nice point, actually. Yeah, that's what. Like, we are in an evolving society, and we need to, break all these stereotypes. Like, an introvert could never make successful leader. There is nothing like that. So, you don't have to be, as you said, you don't have to be, all this flashing, displaying person. I mean, there is no offense to them, but you don't have to be like that to become a successful leader. That's what my thought on that. In fact, I'll say, we should encourage that kind of thought. Like, the traditional leadership aside, what we want to do is kind of a transformative, leadership kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Given the nature of the 21st century problems, I think a leader who can unite and cooperate with the other global leaders and unite the people as a whole will be a true leader and an effective leader to fight for the global problems that we are facing in this century. And that is what it takes to be a true leader. So, of course, and of course, not all Bahubalis with, I don't believe in the concept of might is right. Not all Bahubalis can be a good leader. And not all Mahabalis can also be a good leader at all point of time. So even a person as young as Greta Thunberg can be can lead a good cause. Then I think everybody can be a good leader if they are fighting for a good cause, and if they can unite people for a good cause, and if they can make sense with sensible and scientific arguments. I think that is what we need for a true human leader.
Speaking of this, what 21st century demands, actually the organization which I'm working for came with, I don't know whether they came with that or like, it's actually integrated as their core concept for their 10-year vision, that is called transformative leadership. So it is actually, instead of making changes in individual level, we should focus on a system level. We should bring changes in the social systems, actually. So in this ideal form, it actually creates this valuable and positive changes in the followers. And the end goal of such a process is like making all these followers into next leaders. So that is, I think, a nice, you know, thing to come up with as a society whole, or like in any organization. I mean, when I say organization, like schools or home or, country at all, a good leader should create more and more leaders. So that's my statement on that.
Yes, Agil, it gives me a lot of happiness to see a lot of changing leadership qualities, leadership qualities, and more than happy to know that Kamala Harris, a woman of color, becoming the first vice president of one of the biggest countries, powerful countries of the world. And to see that a lot of people have been accepting, words of wisdom from a lot of, trying to follow a lot of people, irrespective of their, not just their color or ethnicity or their age. Very popular example, Greta Thunberg. Acceptance of leaders, irrespective of where they are from, how they are, you know, a loud voice, do they have 56 inch chest, or are they tall and handsome? I'm so happy to know that the concepts are changing, and irrespective of where the voice is coming from, I think it gives me so much hope that the followers is listening to what the voice is trying to say, and is it worth listening to, and it should like intellectually simulate the followers, like Akhil said, to make their own decisions as leaders. I believe is a great thing to look forward to, and hopefully gives the organizations a lot of success.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with the points that you both mentioned right now. And I would also like to mention the fact that there are a lot of women leaders rising at the moment. And I'm really happy to see prove before the society that, you know, how effective women can also be as leaders. And there are a lot of young leaders, or as you mentioned, currently leadership. I'm so happy to see that people are accepting leaders without keeping any other barriers or restrictions. And I totally think that we should have another discussion about the rising women leadership around the world. Especially, I think this whole pandemic, in fact, enlightened us about a lot of things to which we were intentionally or non-intentionally ignorant about, so many existing underlying things to which we were ignorant about. And one of the, among the many other things that we were enlightened us about, was about the women leadership, or the need to have a true and effective leader who can take the right decisions at the right time, and who can control the people by winning their trust and confidence. And I think we should totally have a discussion about that in the upcoming podcast episode, maybe. So on that note, I think we should wrap our discussion here. What do you think?
Yeah, that actually works, and we should discuss about these things.
Yes, guys, please look forward to a lot of interesting discussions. This is a series that we introduced on leadership. I think discussions of leadership in this age is completely relevant. This week, we discussed about the leadership traits, the changing leadership traits, what the society is looking for. In the future episode, look forward to a lot of interesting discussions on leadership. Hope to catch you all in the next episode of the series.
Yes, so thank you for listening to the 1T1. Hope you all enjoyed this episode on leadership in general, and we will come up with more specific topics on leadership in the upcoming episodes. Thank you. Have a good week ahead.
Thank you all, listeners, and wishing you a very happy and productive week ahead. So we'll be back in next week.